About half our country this week was elated on Tuesday as election results came in, and then as the week progressed, became more and more anxious and frustrated. And about half our country this week on Tuesday, as election results came in, found themselves tied up in knots. And as the week went on, became less and less anxious until elation gave way yesterday. And all of our country's going to be here next week. And the week after that, and the year after that. And if the election established anything, it established this, that there is no magic event coming that is going to do away with them. Whoever those folks are who think differently than the folks that you think with. We are a nation divided. And I don't think that politicians of any stripe are going to be able to lead us out of that division. But I believe that the church can lead us out of division. You may think that's naive, but I believe in a Father God who created everything out of nothing with a word. And I believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was bodily raised from the dead, and is seated in glory at the right hand of the Father. And I believe in the Holy Spirit who dwells inside each one of us and who binds us together in love. Which means I believe the local church is the hope of the world. And I believe that our church is particularly well primed to be hope bearers in the world today. There are churches across America this morning in which everyone, or practically everyone in the congregation, is elated with how the election turned out. And there are churches across America today in which everyone, or practically everyone, is dismayed by how the election turned out. And here at South Main Baptist Church in Houston, we are all over the map. Our congregation goes from left to right and from inside to outside and from top to bottom, just the whole thing of it. And so if we are able to come together in love, I think we can be a model for others for how to come together in love. I don't believe that we're going to learn to be more loving by watering down what we believe. Nobody wants a fellowship that is so diluted there's nothing about which to care. No, the path in front of us is one of greater commitment. We have to become more and more committed to Jesus Christ, to his truth and his love, because think about the picture of it. If each of us is getting closer to Jesus, then we are necessarily becoming closer to one another. So what do we do? How do we become more loving? How do we become more like Jesus, more committed to Jesus, and more committed to the work of his kingdom? To answer that question, we're going to keep walking through the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it there? Matthew chapter 6, and beginning in verse 19. There the scripture says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord. If you're wondering in this moment whether you should be wary because I'm talking about politics or you should be wary because I'm talking about money, the answer is yes. What I want to do this morning is think together about how we might insulate ourselves from the perils and the pitfalls and the politics of this world, and how we might ensconce ourselves in the kingdom of God and its security and its peace. And it turns out that how we spend our money relates directly to both of those things. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus knew what we must know, and that is our hearts falter and fail, that our hearts want the wrong things. We forget we have eternal homes in heaven not built with human hands, and so we begin to think that the things of earth are the most important things. We pass by that our passport covers are supposed to read Kingdom of God. And so we act like the kingdoms of the world have eternal significance. Jesus knew what we must know, that our hearts want the wrong things. And so he said to us literally, do not treasure for yourselves treasures on earth. Instead, he called us to invest our lives in things that mattered, knowing that such investments necessarily pull our hearts along with them. Jesus did not say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. I wish he'd said that. And I wish it were true. Wouldn't it be easier? If that were true, then from the moment you made a profession of faith in Christ, suddenly you would have a deep and abiding sense of what matters and what doesn't matter, and what's true and what isn't true, and what is significant and what is insignificant. From the moment you made a profession of faith in Christ, you would find that your finances were suddenly in order and everything was working out right. But that's not how it works. And those things don't happen immediately. That is not true. So Jesus told us what is true. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, which means we must discipline our lives. That's why we're called disciples. Our hearts will want the wrong things, and we put our trust in the wrong things. We think that somehow by storing up stuff, we can purchase for ourselves security. We think that by securing power, we can hold the peace. But our security doesn't come from stuff. And our peace can't be purchased by polemic or by power. To think that those things are true is to store up for ourselves treasures on earth. But cash can be stolen, and cars rust, and corporations collapse, and candidates lose, and moths eat dinner jackets. Which means safety deposit boxes and places that we put things here on earth can't hold those things for us. None of those things can protect or produce what we really need. So we must store up treasure for ourselves in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Look, I hope this sermon results in your giving money systematically to the church, because sacrificially giving to the church will make your life better. But this sermon really isn't about money. Don't hear all this and think, I knew it. They only care about money. God only wants our money. Do you know the price of gold never varies in heaven? In heaven, they pave the streets with gold. What God wants is your heart. And he knows our hearts want the wrong things. And he knows that if our hearts are not vested in the kingdom of God, it is all too often because our treasure is invested in other places. And I promise you, if you invest your treasure in the kingdom of God, your heart will follow suit. Jesus wants us to know that earthly treasures are transient. There's a deathbed wisdom about that. Nobody on their deathbed ever says, I wish I had fewer friends. I wish I'd spent more time committed to the office. Carrie quoted Ken Chafin, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. There comes a time when we will care only for things that are eternal, and we will see that the things to which we gave our days cannot come, the days that we have had, cannot come with us into the days that we will have. And in that moment, either we will have stored up for ourselves treasure in heaven, or we will be bankrupt. The key is this: measure your treasure by God's pleasure. Jesus said, your heart will suffer the fate of you will share the fate of that to which you give your heart. In the very next paragraph, he's going to say, you cannot serve both God and money, that your stuff can't save you, that your politics will never be the source of your peace, that if everything you value is on earth, then what you will have will be earthly values. But if your goals are oriented toward God, and if your goods are given in service to God, then your values and your life reflect that. Which means we have a choice to make today. This week you will likely encounter someone whose very life seems bound up in the results of the election. They're terrified about where the libs are going to lead, or they're afraid of what it means for our country because the race was so close and the president is so bad. What if we were so grounded in the kingdom of God, so confident in Jesus' love, so committed to Jesus' reign in the world, that we could listen to that person with compassion rather than judgment? That we could care more for that person than for his or her position? That we could commit ourselves to being peacemakers and faith sharers? What if we loved each other the way that God loves us? Wouldn't that make our hearts feel better? Isn't that how we measure our treasure? By God's pleasure? Jesus said if those are the kind of people that we want to be, that we must literally put our money where our mouth is, put our treasure where we want our hearts to be, and begin to make the world better. Right here, right now, and forever. Thomas Lineker founded Lineker College at Oxford University. Lineker was a Christian. He didn't read the original languages of the scripture, and so all he had were translations that were available to him. But unlike our translations that are reliable, in Lineker's day the translations seemed to change all the time and they obscured the difficult parts. And so while he was a student, Lineker taught himself to read Greek. And the first time he read through Matthew's gospel and saw the demands that Jesus places on the life of his disciples, he exclaimed aloud in the Bodleian Library, "Either this is not the gospel, or we are not Christians." This is the gospel. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What of us?